All right, we're going in 3, 2.
Of course, our producer Jive in the back.
Hey, I got the buttons.
He does have the buttons, and he's got his fingers all over them. Ladies, he's married. Don't try and email him. Anyway, I was told immediately that we must talk to Kenneth because he has something important.
So, you know, a buddy of ours, Mr. DJ Deviate, happened to be in Chicago, and they got this liqueur called Malort that you can only get in the Chicagoan area.
Voldemort? What?
Malort.
I was going to call you a geek
Malort.
For a second. But,
yeah, no, not, yeah, not okay. Voldemort. Malort.
Okay. Not Voldemort.
So anyways, I made sure he brought us back some, and, you know, not to be confused with Backstrom, but back some.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about this liqueur?
It's a very herbal liqueur. It's a bitter. Wormwood bitter herbal liqueur.
So there might be some hallucinations going on?
Possibly, if you drink enough of it.
Can you pass the bottle over?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Kevin.
But anyways.
But first, we're going to do a shot?
We're going to do a shot of it, partly in honor of, you know, it is. You can only get it in the Chicagoan area, for one. In Chicago.
Chicagoan.
That's what it is.
No, do not say Chicagoan in Chicagoan. One word.
We need a sample of Chicagoan.
Hey, that's pretty Minnesotan-y.
Minnesotan.
Don't say Chicagoan.
You are Minnesotan, don't you know?
I don't want to hear about any more Chicagoans. They did finally break their streak last
You want
last
some hot
weekend.
Dish?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want hot dish. I want some of this liqueur.
Anyways, gentlemen, I know we are a PG-13, which usually includes just beer, and we're kind of going R-rated with the shots. But, hey, anyways... He brought us a bottle.
No sex on the beach, eh?
So we're all going to be doing a shot of this. And Jive, you better get over here, too.
Yeah. And thank you very much for sharing this wonderful, tasty treat.
This makes for great radio here.
I'm waiting for the reactions on air.
Okay. So this
Cheers,
might
boys.
Be better radio than we think.
Yum. Anyways,
pretty smooth.
Josh is making the whiskey face with the I don't know face mixed in, and he's trying to figure it out.
There's a decent amount of peppermint in there.
Yeah.
Now I taste the rubbing alcohol.
And there goes the floral taste.
I definitely taste some peppermint, some licorice root, and I can taste the wormwood root, but holy, pure grain alcohol.
So
don't get me wrong, that's great out of the freezer, but wow.
It's the aftertaste that really kills you. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're good for like 10, 15 seconds, and then you're all of a sudden
Can you pass that bottle over so I quit getting the aftertaste?
I need a chaser on that one.
And, wow. Thank you, Kenny, very much for that.
Yeah,
that was,
thank you, DJ Deviate.
Thank you, DJ Deviate.
So on the actual
on
business,
secret,
huh?
Let's actually get back to hockey, because as much as we do enjoy booze.
What's hockey?
It's that thing on the screen behind us where Minnesota's playing Detroit in the third. About 60 minutes left to let you know where we're recording and time frame wise. We are looking live at 16 minutes and 30 seconds left of the third period on the Detroit versus Wild game, which we did prognosticate on last week. The only reason I bring that up, we should be able to have a winner on the picks by the end of this show.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, where are we starting off? Looking at last week, right after we were getting done recording, I'm going to cut over to Aaron with some news that came down from the NHL.
Yeah, the Board of Governors have ratified the realignment that we, I know we discussed last week or the week before, but it's going to happen now. Not a whole lot to say there, but, you know,
it's kind
of happy.
It's kind of funny. There was some other announcers and broadcasters that basically had said, hey, it's the old Norris Division, yet they will not name it the Norris Division again.
Oh, no,
the,
Bettman said they're going to do geographically intelligent division names or something like that.
Yeah.
Screw history, let's go.
Are you talking about
geography,
like the Northwest with the Minnesota in there? The Minnesota in the Northwest, don't you know?
I don't remember. I don't know if you remember, but I remember as a kid seeing, I want to say it was Schmidt. It was like beer from the Great Northwest.
Yep.
You know.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. They had commercials like
Hams also had from the Great Northwestern Waters.
Sorry, I mean.
That was Hams.
Land of sky blue water.
Sky blue
you know,
waters, you're right. Yeah,
I understand.
Sorry.
I understand Grain Belt with Northeast because, you know, Northeast was in Northeast Minneapolis.
Well, as soon as you cross the river, you see a neon sign the size of Christ 50 feet tall farting fire that says Grain Belt Northeast.
That's
well,
true.
Well, you figure, where is the Western Divide? It's the Mississippi.
Where, that is true.
And we're north of the Mason-Dixon.
But
we're north of west.
Yeah, okay, fair
you know?
Enough. But you know what?
One
Northwest
things,
compared to Vancouver
one
and
of the things
Calgary.
That I'm actually going to have to bring up on this, though, regardless. Is that nobody else mentioned that's in our show notes. Leopold did estimate that it'll save the wild at least $1 million in travel costs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that the divisions will be realigned. It'll be four divisions, not six divisions in two conferences.
So one of the teams that's pulling in the most revenue that
and
has to do profit sharing amongst the other teams is saving more?
Yeah.
Wow, that should have been dealt with like years ago.
Yeah, but the problem is we're a Western team. We're
going
to be traveling more.
It's going to affect the expansion teams a lot more.
Potentially.
Ultimately.
Depending on where they're put.
The expansion teams will be back in line more with people
but,
in their time zone.
You know what? Even,
right.
even the California
more for
teams.
The viewership and
oh,
people
yeah.
showing up at the arena,
yeah.
period.
Dallas is going to be saving money on travel. You know, because Dallas was
yeah.
in the Pacific Division with you had L.A., you had Anaheim, Phoenix, Dallas, and who am I missing on that one?
What's the biggest
Los
state?
Angeles.
What's the biggest state in the United States?
California.
Alaska. Alaska. No, wait. Texas.
The lower 48?
The lower 48.
Texas.
Yeah, why doesn't Alaska?
So who doesn't have to travel very much?
Well, fair enough.
All right.
Actually,
unfortunately, you know,
Dallas is still in a division where they travel less than
it is.
Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the bigger issue. I mean, Jive, thank you very much for the point, but it's proving the point I was bringing up is the Wild were traveling way too much now.
And the most traveled team this season.
Well, they were the
and
most traveled team the last
divisional and
how many
conference
seasons?
Well,
season.
No. Check this out. They're the most traveled team this season, and Winnipeg is playing in the Southeast Division.
Ooh.
Figure that out.
That's
and
rough.
Yeah, exactly. So Winnipeg is playing against Dallas. So you might have
no, they're not.
No, 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 no. Southeast.
Southeast.
Oh, Southeast.
So Tampa Bay,
Florida,
Washington.
That's right, because they just moved from Atlanta.
Yep.
Yep.
So
okay.
they're traveling less than the Wild. They're traveling less than the Wild.
Yeah. Winnipeg got hosed, and the Wild are still taking it up the ass.
Right.
And the Wild have been in the same division for 10 years.
How does that work?
Who was the previous commissioner? Okay.
Yeah.
No, still the same commissioner. Damn it.
So anyways, Josh.
But yes, it will actually help out all the expansion teams that have joined the league in the last, say, when was the last gerrymandering of divisions and conference?
Well, they talked about it last year right before the...
But the last time was probably 10 years ago, you
the
know?
Last time.
Yeah.
No, before...
12 years? 13?
10 years ago when... Well, 11 years ago when the Wild joined the league.
Right,
the last time any gerrymandering was done, but there was a balance between divisions.
Yes, there was.
All right.
And then beyond that, the last real major realignment was probably when we were all kids.
Yeah, it wasn't much of a realignment. It was more so like, let's put this team in this division and let's put this team in that division.
There was a realignment when they switched from the Norris and Campbell those divisions.
When was that? Anybody remember?
That would have been 94-ish.
Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so
yeah.
that would have been
about the time that Minnesota moved down to Dallas.
Yes.
Right, yeah, right around that same time frame, because that was 96 that Minnesota moved to Dallas, unless I'm so mistaken.
92.
92? Okay. I am 93. So mistaken.
The North 93. Stars moved to Dallas, not Minnesota.
Yeah. Right. I think it was 93. It was 2 years after the Stanley Cup run.
Thank you, Chai, for pointing out. But,
Speaking of that, though, I got a question for you
guys.
That
was the last major gerrymandering. I'm going to finish my shot right quick. Hit me.
How do you guys feel about this? Somebody in the management of the Dallas Stars had said, they were happy to have Dallas back in cahoots with Chicago and St. Louis because they'd be back against their division rivalries and their old school rivalries. Now, is that a Minnesota thing or is that
They were in the same division as them for, six years.
As Dallas.
Does that count as...
I mean, is that still the same as...
They won a cup with those divisions.
They did, and that pisses me off even more because it was 2 years after they moved.
Can we agree it was a Modano thing then?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. It's all about Modano for that time frame in Dallas. The only reason Dallas can claim the rivalry is
Modano can't even
Modano.
Count that rivalry anymore because now Detroit's moving to the... To the Eastern Division, or one of the Eastern Divisions. How does this bother you guys? All the teams in the Eastern Conference, or Eastern time zone, want to be together because they can be in the same time zone and blah, blah, blah. Less traveling time, less distract,
better for their
viewership. So you put all these teams in one time zone, but you can spread the rest out across three?
What are you going to do, though? There's less people in the West.
That is true.
What are you going to do? What's your solution that's better than what the NHL has put out?
A gold rush.
I would say do
I think
something.
We tried that with the South and Southern hockey teams.
Once
that.
Again, things we've brought up. More teams in Canada in their major metropolitan
areas,
especially
that?
The ones that can support
teams. They're tapped out, though.
Canada, you can move as far north as you want, but that does not negate the time zone factor.
They got Hamilton, which is East Coast. They've got Quebec City, East Coast. Those are the two other big unexplored territories or
Halifax
abandoned
Halifax.
And we're also looking
travel
at...
to Halifax is going to be a bitch for anyone on the east though.
Well, also... travel to Halifax is going to suck for anybody,
right?
Unless you live
Hammond,
in Halifax,
just outside of Toronto, where they're talking about moving Phoenix to, which would
possibly
bump it east instead of west.
Well, what if we did NFL rules where everybody it's just spread out.
The problem is with the NFL rules is that you have history of AFC, NFC.
And
same with baseball.
Two different leagues that were across the whole countryside.
Right.
And doesn't matter.
Well, and I suppose when you can fit 60,000 into a stadium compared to 18,000.
Right. You need attendance. But
fair
then,
enough.
But then also it gives
well,
way.
That's the biggest argument, though.
Yeah.
It's like we're looking at teams like, say, Phoenix, who's a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
But is totally in the negative and owned by the NHL.
Right.
Being put into a suburb of Toronto.
Are they still owned by the NHL?
I thought somebody
bought them out.
No.
No, they would have moved.
Well, that was New Jersey. That was
New Jersey? No, you're thinking Dallas.
No, not Dallas.
New Jersey and Dallas both had changes in ownership group, as it were.
Oh, yeah.
And I think New Jersey was the latest at the end of last season.
Yeah.
No, Dallas was over the offseason, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
There was, however, a change to the ownership group, but the overall ownership, there was still a retaining person involved in the new ownership group, just buying more of the shares out.
Right.
Let's move on to, because that took way too long to discuss the ratifying of the realignment.
You know what? It was a good discussion, though.
Yeah, basically, we'll finally be able to see things more in our time zone.
Well,
That's the important thing.
I'm happy to be back with Chicago, St. Louis, and Dallas, and Winnipeg.
The less 9 o'clock games, the happier I am.
And you know what? Even keeping Colorado with that is kind of awesome.
Ultimately, the quick point I wanted to wrap up with on that to move on was that we will finally see one of the major networks, like local networks, broadcasting games again, in theory, because of the realignment. Hence why NBC probably bought the rights and opened the sports network so they can have games on your regular local network.
Oh, no. They're gonna want to do East Coast games all the time.
Absolutely.
They will, but they'll keep that on their cable sports network, and you'll see it on your regular broadcast network
for
your local games.
All you got to do is look at tonight. Tonight we've got the Wild playing against
Detroit.
It's a good game, but you got Chicago and Anaheim playing.
That should be the game
of the year.
Which ESPN holds control of.
ESPN has nothing to do with NHL.
No, they got nothing.
Josh, where have you been the last lockout?
Yeah, so there's a 10 o'clock game.
I've been drunk.
10 o'clock Eastern game.
He was holding out.
10 o'clock Eastern between Anaheim and Chicago, the two best teams in the West. By far.
Actually, I think they're the two
far,
best teams
far
in
far
the NHL.
In the league. Yeah, in the league as a whole.
Yeah, and it's not the marquee game of the week on NBC Sports Network because it's not East Coast time.
Well, because you know what? That game would be starting at, what, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock?
That's what I said.
But it would be perfect for local broadcast.
All right.
Getting on to it, the Wild did trade defenseman Shage Genaway to the Washington Capitals for a conditional seventh-round pick in the 2014 draft. That happened back on last Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Well,
he's undrafted. He came out of UND, so he's a Sioux.
He's a fighting Sioux.
Of
course,
the Wild
got rid of him.
He played for Shattuck
St.
Mary, though.
He did play for Shattuck, so, I mean.
He's a great player regardless. I mean, regardless of any shit we talk.
Right.
On the Fighting Sioux. We do actually respect
that. You know what?
And that's why they are the rival
fighting,
we consider them.
Well, we'll get to this, but the Fighting Sioux do have some stuff.
Yeah.
The team formerly known as the Fighting Sioux.
But it's not a bad team to lose to because at least you know you're losing to a good team.
I'm not sure how
Although
I feel
you
about
still don't want to lose.
I'm not sure how I feel about that trade. I think it's kind of a push overall. I'm okay with it, but I didn't have a strong feeling either way to begin with.
We'll see what comes of it.
It's conditional, so it could mean nothing, really.
Exactly. So we're going to cut over to Kenny real quick for a recap of the first Avalanche Wild matchup. I want to say that is the home game. That was the home and home with
the Wild and the Avalanche. The Wild were at home the first game. They had the first five-goal game of the season, winning 5-3 against the Avs. Phenomenal game. Got fairly physical later in the game.
A little chippy.
You know, when you get Clutterbuck getting into a fight and throwing uppercuts, it's kind of awesome, actually. I enjoyed watching the game. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how much you saw of it, but holy cow.
Andy was mixing it up with Chuck Kobasu, our former Wild
friend. Yes, absolutely.
But apparently not a friend of Clutterbuck. So.
Mike Rupp was also getting into it, or trying to get into it, after he got tripped by by former Wild Greg Zannon, gave him a shove to the back of the head, which then resulted in Rupp getting a penalty at another 2 minutes.
Right.
So it canceled everything out. So, yeah, you know, Rupp, you know, he's doing his thing, but he could have kept his paws to himself for a minute, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's not easy.
Heat of the game. Things happen. You know, but, yeah, good game. It was beautiful, you know, ended with a beautiful tic-tac-toe from Koivu fed by Parisian Suter. I mean, it literally went right, left, center, and just boom.
All right. Any other comments on that game?
Well, it's Suter's first three-point game with the Wild and his fourth of his career.
Yeah, so... It puts the seal that Suter, he got a bad rap as he was starting his Wild career, but I think he's turned it on. He's converting a lot of people. I still think though that people are he's about a point of the game.
Yeah,
hey, he's back into a proper defenseman's offensive defenseman
right.
scoring.
But he's not an offensive defenseman.
Right. So he's a point.
He's converted to though.
No, he's not.
He's point a game.
But if you look at his career, he has never averaged more than a point every two games.
But look at his plus minus.
But he's never averaged more than a point every two games for his career since high school. So to expect a point out of a game,
then he was a winger.
Right. Exactly. So to expect a point a game from him right now, it's gravy. So if we're getting point a game out of him, that's awesome. all you need to do is know that he's back there quarterbacking the team. You know, he comes out of this.
I wouldn't say he's quarterbacking, but he's keeping an eye on it and making sure to help start the play.
He plays half the freaking game.
Which is integral. Like, he is the highest number, unless I'm sorely mistaken, he's got more time on the ice than anybody else on the bench.
That would be probably
correct. It'd be close. It'd be close.
You know what's really crazy about that?
Probably you're right because of penalties. So,
what's really crazy about that is Brodin is actually close to him because he's been paired up defensively with him. Brodin has had almost the same amount of ice time as a 19-year-old kid.
But that was also a change that happened with the defensive pairings approximately week 3 or 4. Spurgeon was getting a lot more time early.
Brodin was hurt, too.
Did also help out on getting him acclimated.
But,
and it took a few weeks. It took a little bit of time into the season for Suter to get acclimated well into it.
But still, he had a three-point game, right?
Anyway, he had a three-point game.
Okay, so check this out.
If he
scores 5 more points the rest of the season, he will break the Wild point per game record for a defenseman.
Wow, and we got a lot of time left.
Yeah, we're just over the halfway mark, and
we've
had a lot of great defensemen who.
I don't know that we have. Brent Burns, he's been the one that's been as an offensive defenseman. He's the one who's
that's what you
got to
go
limit.
By for that.
You know,
I mean, as far as wild history goes,
he's
Brent
got the
Burns,
current record. But that he's got
the current record. I wouldn't argue he was the best.
But as far as offensive defenseman,
that's
you
a
know?
Conversation for the offseason when we try and argue who was the best defenseman
Bringing up Brent Burns, though, I see a lot of Brent Burns in Brodin.
I can see that.
I see a lot of.
I can't argue with that at
I
all.
I see a lot of.
Totally see it.
I see a lot of Brent Burns, and that makes me, as much as I love Brent Burns, it makes me miss him a little bit less.
But you know,
Brodin's still young.
It, really, if you go back to Nashville, you know, Suter had Weber.
Yeah.
Brodin is becoming Suter's new Weber.
Well, you know what? The Wild had before,
Spurgeon
though.
Can step up for that same position, and they can trade off on it. And regardless of whether they trade off on it, both of them learning that will help the overall defense of the Wild.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of Keith Carney, Brent Burns with...
Keith Carney.
Well,
really? Did that just...
Yes.
Wow.
You guys
wow.
remember Keith Carney?
What about Martin Skula?
Ah, wow. No. Keith Carney was awesome, though. Keith Carney was very defensive.
That's why I got
defensive.
Put down to the minors, right? All right. Real quick, Jive, you want to tell us what happened on March 15th?
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right. So, Aaron, getting on to the Wild Avalanche game at the Colorado Pepsi Center.
Second half of the home at home. Wild had their first 6-point game after getting their first 5-point game.
Yes.
Their first 6-point game and... since January 19th, 2 years ago. So 2-plus years since their last 6-point game. That it actually tied a team record with 4 goals in a single period. And it's actually on the road. And that's the 6th time in team history where they've had six goals in or 4 goals in a period.
Wow, that was an insane game.
Wow, that was super loud.
That was definitely an insane game. We had fighting right off the bat, or almost right off the bat within the first, 3 minutes?
Right.
You
had Rupp gotten a crazy fight. It seemed pretty close, but if you go to hockeyfights.com, Rupp was the definite loser.
Yeah, Rupp got ruptured.
Yeah.
I think we said that after we watched that fight.
But he sustained some sort of injury. They were saying lower body.
I'm going to say it was balls.
He came out later in the game, and I could have swore I saw his eye was, like, swollen up like a, you know, because he got pounded pretty good in the face.
Well, you know what?
So,
also, with that game, Healy got his 400th career assist. Setoguchi got his 100th career assist. All in all, the Wild looked pretty damn good most of that game.
Yeah, and with their first – they had 4 goals in that first period – that scared away Jaguar, and they had to put in Varlamov again.
Oh, my God. You have any idea how much that makes me happy? That Jaguar finally has some intimidation from the Wild. Like, that killed me in 2003 so badly. Just driving me nuts, going, we just took out the top two teams in the West, and we had to face a team named after a Disney movie and lost? Really?
Really.
And, yeah, to know that Ziggy was the goalie then, and now we managed
Ziggy,
to make
Ziggy,
him go.
Come on.
At least, get a little timid.
At
in
least
the first
that film was filmed right here in our home.
Well,
state.
The first one
true.
Was.
Well, I gotta say, you know how long ago it was? It was like
did you
a,
say
10
how
years
long ago.
Ago
it was?
How long ago it was? Yes,
that was 10 years ago.
That
now.
Was a decade ago.
Wow,
when Luongo was on his game,
but Jaguar is now 10 years older.
Yeah, and he's probably not as big of a guy as he was.
And I think
then.
He, I think he might be backing up Varlamov, actually.
Yeah, more or less.
I think he is.
So, you know.
So, yeah, Wild take the sweep. I believe, Josh, you and I had actually.
We're not quite there yet. We still
well,
have
I think we had said that they were going to take the sweep, though.
I believe you and I were the two people to say they were going to sweep the Avs.
Me and Josh said they're going to split it.
We'll
you know,
talk
so.
About that a little bit more. But
now, real quick, that was, of course, Saturday. For the second game of the Wild Avalanche back-to-back. So, Jive, we're cutting over to you for St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. What do you got for us?
Well, I think they had a little skate on the ice, you know.
Minnesota.
All right. Now, getting on to Monday.
So
March
Monday.
18th. The Wild at Vancouver's home stadium, playing the Canucks.
You know, a lot of news for Monday. First off, Rupp was injured, which I do not like to see our enforcers injured.
But he was hurt on that fight from the Vancouver
from
game.
From the Vancouver game.
Or Avalanche game, sorry.
It Avalanche always game. Worries me to see one of – I wouldn't even really call him an enforcer. He's a fourth-line guy who can fight and hold his own.
He's a tough – grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
He can actually score a goal. He's but not like Bogard.
One of the guys that you know will hold his
too
own
soon.
and you know, just kind of have no issues taking a fight and winning it, not
right.
taking punches.
It's not like Kanapka. Kanapka gets
Kanapka blocks punches with his face. I'm sorry. He does.
Hey, sometimes that's the best way to lead into a fight. You let the person know you can take the punch, and then just whoop the ever-loving
so,
crap out of them.
Anyways, we're going into game 4 of 4 with Vancouver. We have not won a game in Vancouver for 4 years.
Yep.
We have not won a game in regulation for 5 years.
Right.
And we're going without our grinder, and it's a shortened season, so you got fighters that, or you got guys that are going to be scrapping all the time.
And we're talking about the only rivalry from
the Northwest
Minnesota
Division
Wild,
which is kind of crazy when you think about
it. The only real rivalry from the Minnesota Wild until the realignment.
And it's crazy when you say that, because I think as a Wild fan, we all agree
we hate Vancouver.
That's our rivalry. But we haven't won in Vancouver in 5 freaking years.
So
how is that a rivalry?
Anyways, for those of you that do not know, the Wild came off victorious 3-1 against Vancouver on Monday night.
Suter was named one of the top 3 stars despite scoring 0 points.
And
having 4 penalty minutes. But he played nearly half an hour.
Aaron, you kind of informed me on something that I think I had heard before, but I forgot. But can you remind me how the top 3 stars are chosen?
By the local media.
So the Vancouver media chose Suter as one of the top 3 stars.
So we're talking about the country of hockey. Choosing him as one
did,
of the top 3 stars.
And he got no points.
No points. And
4 penalty minutes.
4 penalty minutes. Only 4 penalty minutes.
4 blocked shots.
Okay, 4 blocked shots. 30 minutes of ice time, I'm a guess.
Or
20, probably about 27.
29 and a half, I think it was something like that.
Nice. So basically,
Para
his
hits.
Endurance and his ability to help control play.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't see.
Which,
you don't see the Yanks do. You don't see the Yanks actually credit somebody for controlling play while not scoring.
It makes me go back to saying he's the quarterback of the team. He controls the play. He totally does.
The quarterback gets credit for a touchdown.
So, well, he might not. From the rubes out there, I think anyone who pays attention to the game knows that he's actually driving the play. He's if there was a 3 points assist on an assist, he'd be getting that third point game
absolutely.
In and game out.
You know? He's the guy who is passing the puck up after he has it. He can either bounce it off the boards.
I'm not trying to argue that he's not a playmaker. I'm not trying to discredit him for any bit. I'm trying to actually encourage the fact that the NHL being a Canadian league, and we have more American teams or U.S. teams than Canadian teams within the league, the Canadians actually put him as one of the top three stars without getting a single point.
Absolutely.
It's mind-blowing.
I've got a real quick question for you. What's this whole thing about Fletcher for hybridizing?
Well, going back to the Vancouver game, there was a hit on Brodin rushing down for the puck.
Right. It was an icing potential icing, and Brodin and I don't remember who was running for it from Vancouver, but they're running for the puck. You know, the typical chase for the potential icing.
Absolutely.
Call.
The race to get the icing
and Brodin,
or not.
Brodin got smashed into the boards. And ironically, Thomas Mitchell, who the Wild now have, was the one that
Torrey Mitchell.
Torrey Mitchell, who was the one that put Curtis Foster into the boards and broke Curtis Foster's femur.
Former Wild member as well.
Yeah, yeah,
former
yeah.
Wild. He saw Brodin go down the hit, and literally he was like, oh, no, not again.
Right.
In case any of you are wondering, we're talking about icing, where once the puck goes past the goal line, that's not in a goal. Whoever touches it first, if it's the offensive team, it's not icing. If it's the defensive team, it is icing.
If you're shooting out of the neutral zone.
Beyond the red line.
Right, and so Fletcher wants to adopt hybrid icing, which is once you get to the dots. The dashes. That's when the icing will be called.
If there's nobody in front of the...
Whoever wins the race to there gets the icing, basically.
For the most part.
Right.
And that will negate the smashing into the boards, possible...
Injuries. Right.
You know, I think this could be a good discussion point.
Okay, this could be a very long-winded discussion, and I think it's probably something maybe for one of our Puck and Drunk specials, because we are discussing something. Well, we could do it actually here. I'd prefer to do it here, to be honest, but I don't know that we have the time since we're running so long right now, because this is something that will take up an insane amount of time.
That's for a Wild win.
Oh,
yeah.
Wild beat Detroit 4-2. Wait, where'd that second goal come in?
While we're recording right now, it just happened about a minute and a half ago while they had Howard pulled. But
I don't know. Josh, I think
the Wild did just beat Detroit in Detroit and did a good job of it.
That's a four-game win streak.
That's a four-game streak. Mostly on the road.
Yeah,
one home game against the Avalanche, and then the rest – they played in Denver, then they played in Vancouver, then to Detroit, and I forgot. Are we home next game?
We are against San Jose on Saturday.
Yep.
But
back to icing.
I want to go back to this icing topic because I think it's a huge.
It's a big change.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it'll be that significant.
This is one thing that all the GMs are talking about right now.
Right, yeah.
It's a huge deal.
And they've got the GM meetings going on right now. So,
now,
and that's
the
kind of stuff they're talking about. You know?
I do have to ask, because I've been drinking heavily, how does this compare to the college and Olympic version of icing?
College is hybrid.
College is automatic.
College is
automatic.
College is hybrid.
It is hybrid?
Yes, it is.
Is it hybrid or is it automatic? No, it is hybrid.
Yeah, it is.
AHL is hybrid, which is what they were testing out.
It was hybrid. It was hybrid.
Which they were testing out, and then they got rid of it.
Olympic
college
is no
changed to hybrid.
Olympic is no touch.
I knew college as automatic.
Nope. College is hybrid.
I've been watching it, and I've been just misreading it.
No,
and that explains a lot of things where I was going, what just happened?
No, it's hybrid, and I don't see a really big downside to switching to hybrid. I mean,
not at all.
It'll actually probably drop the most senseless injuries out of the game.
Maybe you guys could explain the hybrid.
Okay,
for
the hybrid icing, from how it has been explained to me, is that if there's a player that is beyond the hash marks in the circle dots.
Right.
If they are beyond the hash marks before the puck crosses the goal line, then it's touch icing. If that makes sense. So, let's say...
But you have to be the lead, though.
Hold on.
No, as long as they're crossing the hash marks.
Hold on. If you guys can carry this on, let me see if I can pull up an actual
definition. Actually, if I remember it, now that I'm starting to hear him describe it, I remember it. As long as they're in front of the hash marks of the circles, it is a race then again.
Right.
But they can't be.
But
in
after
front
after
of
the
as soon as
after
in,
the hash marks, it's no touch.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't have the guys going in full bore, smashing it into each other.
Right.
As soon as they know that they don't have a chance, they got to lock it up, hit the brakes.
You know, personally, I have no problem with doing the no touch, like Olympic hockey.
Yeah.
I don't think the race for the icing is that exciting,
Aaron.
The race for the icing isn't exciting. You're seeing more players get injured, but you see a lot of conversion plays happen at that point.
Aaron, I did just see this, which is kind of I didn't realize this was the American Hockey League used hybrid icing for part of the regular season while the lockout was going on, but stopped using it once NHL play resumed. I did not realize that they were just trying it out until that play resumed and then went back to normal.
Because they didn't want players confused going from the NHL to AHL once the season started, because, you know, they'd be promotions and emotions. So.
They wanted to make sure that everything stayed flowing properly as people got called up and
down. Honestly, as rare as you see the serious injuries from icing, guys are getting banged up.
You see them enough where it's you go, it's not that exciting. It's not like a kickoff in football. You know, see a kickoff and you see someone running.
But guys,
that's exciting. People running towards the puck and stopping, it's kind of boring.
It's a race.
It
can be exciting.
It's not that exciting, though.
It's a foot race.
And why did so many people care about Lance
Armstrong? And it
gives you
incentive to get your butt down the ice.
I don't know. Why do people care about Lance Armstrong?
I kind of agree with Jive.
Let's pause for a second. Jive, repeat what you said, and then we'll involve both conversations again.
I was just saying it gives you incentive to get your butt down the ice and get there, you know?
Agreed.
I agree because partly because I have seen plays turn over where the offensive guy has gotten on there first and it's turned into a goal because the goalie was not on top of his game.
I would prefer either A, get rid of icing altogether, or make it no touch. Because either they're going to get it or they're not. And those kind of plays are going to balance out throughout a season.
I think the hybrid icing will actually help affect it.
It will.
Hybrid
icing, I think, will help getting guys go
down.
Boy,
I wasn't done. And this is the big part. If the refs are conditioned to call it well. And it will take so long for the entrance level refs that are coming into the NHL to be able to properly call hybrid icing to make anything worthwhile on that it's going to be something that will annoy all of us for about 5 years at a minimum,
Josh,
if not longer.
Sorry, Aaron, I know you have something to say. I think it's the linesmen, though, that are calling it.
I think the bigger deal will be injury and the reduction of injuries.
The injury and... Kenny, I meant any zebra. I didn't really care.
Sorry. I figured that much, but I'm pretty sure it's still the linesman calling that, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, that would be the linesman calling the icing.
So now the question is, how fast can they get from the blue line following
the
puck to the top of the circle to make a correct call?
And then you're going to have the refs calling it instead of the linesman, which is kind of more appropriate.
Aaron, we saw that watching the Vancouver game the other night where there was a possible Vancouver goal because of the fact that the linesman did not call the puck going beyond the blue line.
Well, yeah.
So in the end, this is all to save from injuries? Is that basically
more or less?
That's basically what it's getting to.
So they're kind of following along the same lines as the NFL, you know, where I know the NFL just passed a rule too, you know, the running backs can't lower their heads. I mean, are these professional sports that these guys are playing anyways? I mean, they're adults, they can make their own decision and decide if
Well, that's why we're discussing it.
I mean, All right.
That's kind of what we're doing is debating.
All right. Are we going to go into Wild upcoming games?
Let's do it.
All right. Lovely, finally. So we're looking at the Sharks at home. What, is that tomorrow night? No.
Saturday
night.
Saturday,
got the Sharks,
Saturday
San
afternoon.
San Jose Sharks, Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
At the XL Center. Then we go on the road to play the Stars on Monday. And that'll be in Dallas. And then next Wednesday, we'll be playing the Coyotes. And because it's a West Coast team, we're not going to pick insofar as our picks for the Coyotes.
We got two games.
We'll write them down tonight, but we won't announce them to you, the listeners at home, because we want to keep it somewhat fair to each other.
So with last week's picks, we just wrapped up the Wild and Detroit game. I know me and Jive lost. I think you guys split, Kenny and
Meat Beast. I picked a sweep with Meat Beast, sweeping Avalanche.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Meat Beast, what did you pick for
Vancouver? Well, let's look back.
I know I picked Vancouver, the Wild winning but a one-point game, and then
you
ended up winning
by two. You
said
it was going to be an overtime game.
No, that was Detroit.
You said a one-point game.
No, one-point game.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Regulation. Yeah.
Which it was not a one-point game. I said it was going to go to overtime with Vancouver.
And you didn't claim a
winner.
Which
it did not happen.
You didn't claim a winner.
No, I did not.
So that's an automatic
loser. Leave it to me?
No, it's a tie.
I did also say that they were going to beat Detroit, they were going to sweep the Avs, and that it would go to overtime. So I was saying they would get a minimum of five. What did you say?
No, sorry. I'm going with tie.
I'm going to go with a tie.
We'll go with a tie.
Six, seven. I said they'd get at least seven.
You didn't pick a winner, so I don't
seven
think
seven with Detroit, but you know what?
And you said
how many
points they get? You said they'd get six?
I said seven. Dude, we're not counting Detroit.
We have to count Detroit at this point because we picked it last week on air.
And yes. I picked them.
And that puts me 1 point ahead of you.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Because I picked them beating Vancouver, winning by one, and then losing to Detroit in either overtime or shootout.
Actually,
so that gives me 7 points.
That's a tie. I apologize there, Kitten. All right. So we got the new lineup.
Yeah.
Good thing, Kitten. All right. So the Sharks and the Stars. What's the picks?
I'll start out. I'm just going to wing it here. I'm going to go with my pick. I'm going to say they're going to beat the Sharks. I'm going to say they'll beat the Stars. I'm going to say a sweep. Two games, they're going to win both of them. In regulation.
Blame the Wormwood.
Jive, you're up next.
Okay. For my picks this week, the Wild seem to be on kind of a tear here. And, I mean, who knows when it's going to end. So I'm going to have to go with the Wild taking both. I'm going to have to say, though, that the game against the Dallas Stars is probably going to go into OT, but I think they'll win it in either OT or a shootout. So,
all right. You'd prefer me to go first, sir. We are at the tie, and we have to pick last.
I already know.
Excellent.
I'm
going to say that the Wild are going to lose to the Sharks, beat the Stars, and just do both in reg. They might get a point out of the Sharks, but that's the best I'm going to say. They might get 1 point out of the Sharks for an overtime, but they're going to lose to the Sharks and then beat Detroit.
All right, and I'm going to go with the Wild beating the Sharks at home. And I think taking the Stars to OT, but losing, but still getting a point.
So we're still going to be in a tie if we're both right. All right.
So, Gophers.
That brings it up to Gophers, and we got the ladies up first. Kenny, hit me.
So, the ladies this past weekend, ended up beating North Dakota 3-2 in three overtimes.
Holy Hannah.
In the they advanced to the Frozen Four.
And it was actually only the second time this year that they've been brought to overtime.
Yeah, the first time was by the Beavers.
Yes.
Oh, those pesky Beavers.
Pesky Beavers.
And the Gophers, the Gophers women's licked those Beavers.
So anyways,
in the third overtime.
They had three periods of no goal scored. They ended up beating the Fighting Sioux.
They
advance on to the Frozen Four. The first game is Friday against number 4 Boston College.
BC.
All right. And this last week, the Gophers had to face Bemidji again. And once again, the Gophers licked the Beavers. 2-1 in overtime in the first game.
Yep.
Which was pretty close and a little tense because yeah. It was just like, wow, we just faced you last weekend.
And the Beavers haven't been that great this year.
They really haven't. The fact that we crushed them the week before.
Right.
And then had them go to overtime. It's like, okay, maybe they're tasting it a little.
Yeah.
But then it came down to the next night. Saturday night. And luckily didn't have to go into a Sunday game for a tiebreaker. Because initially the Gophers were down.
They were getting their butts handed to them. I mean, it wasn't close at all. I know me and Kenny were watching the game and we're like, oh man, there's no way they're gonna even come back to this game. I think it was 3-1 at one point.
And that was unanswered, followed by one goal that was kinda it wasn't pretty.
The Gophers they were playing on their heels, the Beavers were dominating. You know, it's Tom Ceratori's problem, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, that's insane. When you told me that they actually won the next day.
But, yeah, they came back in the last, I want to say it was 62 seconds, 62.7 seconds, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. I did get to watch the last few minutes of that game while I was working, and 62.7 seconds left is when they tagged that last goal to go up 4-3. They did come back in the third and just lick the Beavers like nobody's business.
You said lick the Beavers. Josh, I thought we were a family show.
We are a family show. I'm talking about Bemidji State.
Nope.
I'm talking about Bemidji State. Okay.
All right.
That brings us up to this next week. It does come down to who wins on Thursday for who the Gophers.
We got a lot of hockey happening this week in the Minnesota. The XL, for example, on Saturday, not only are the Wild playing San Jose at 1 p.m., but then the NCAA finals start after that. On top of that, on Friday, the day before, Ritter Arena is the first round of the NCAA women's tournament.
Yep.
Which the women's Gophers are playing first round in number 1 versus Boston College, and the other teams are Boston University and Merkhurst. But with that, in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center, after the Wild play, you've got the NCAA men's hockey tournament, and right next door at Roy Wilkins, you got Roller Girls happening. So it's going to be an insane day. So,
well, and you got who it comes down to for Thursday, right?
You know, Thursday, no, I don't.
All right, give me half a second, I'll have that up. Winner of Thursday's Colorado College North Dakota quarterfinal game determines who the Gophers play this weekend. We are talking about very much rivalries that have been going on for the Gophers for a long time, regardless of who wins on Thursday.
Last year for rivalries.
Anyway, let's see. Anybody else got anything they want to bring up or anything else? We got to bring up who our player of the week is. Oh, my God. I almost forgot about that.
Josh, yeah, what's going on, man?
Oh, bloody hell. We don't have a winner for last week. Who won the previous week? I want to say it was Jive?
Well, let's just start from the top.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to pick who I think.
You got to go second.
Nah, I'm going to go at least second or third.
You're going second. Aaron's going first, it looks like, in this order.
Aaron, take it.
Okay, I guess I'm going to go with Mikko Koivu. He had 2 goals and an assist over the last week. I can't argue with that. You know, I mean, he's a rock star, you know.
Okay, so Aaron's going with Koivu. Let's see, Jive, who are you going with?
Well, I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Suter this week. I mean, he's an all-around, you know, great player. I mean, both sides of the ice, you know, on the offensive end and the defensive end. And I just have to say, you know, I mean, after hearing you guys rap on him, that only solidified my decision. So I'm going to have to go with Suter this week.
Okay, so we got Suter. We got Koivu. Who we got from you, Kenny?
I got Setoguchi. Setoguchi had 3 goals, 2 assists. He was a freaking rock star this week.
And another 2 goals tonight?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, he almost had his hat trick tonight in Detroit.
Right.
I mean, we were watching that replay, and his head went back. It went right off the pipe. And the sad part is it went off the inner pipe.
Right.
I mean, yeah, he could have been a freaking phenom.
Right.
He's stepping up his game.
All right, I'm personally going to go with Rao, Kyle Rao. And I'm going to say he's going to be the one to lead us in this next weekend. After doing a good job of making sure that although there were plenty of plays that he wasn't the one scoring the goal, he helped make it happen for the Gophers.
All right, then. So,
all right. Is there any other news we had from the NHL or the...
I think that's about it.
I think we've already went way over our time. I think we've talked way too much. And I'm going to totally blame that wormwood rot booze that
you got a second one coming.
It made for the most awkward show ever.
I'll take it. I'm still seeing nice Paisley.
You can only get it in Chicago. Mm. Chicago's on top of the league. So send an homage to the Blackhawks.
All right. Jive, you want to tell the kids where to follow you, how to find you, and how to make sure that you feel happy with your life?
Well, after the wormwood, I'm not sure where you're going to find me, but you can try to follow me.
I think you can find you at the Pinrod Bat Cave.
All right, you can tell that this weird liqueur that probably should be illegal in the U.S. is affecting us.
Why do you think you can only get it in Chicago?
Because you told us.
I got to say that they do have a thing called Malort Face.
All right, Jive, are you done saying good evening?
Yeah, good night, everybody. Follow me at Jive Midnight on Twitter, and, you know, I'll see you around.
And this is Aaron. You can follow me at AaronGNP on Twitter. And you can check out my band, pinrot.com. Thank you very much.
And this is Kenny. Pinrot.com, obviously. RottenK999 on Twitter. New blog to come up soon where you can follow my miscomings and whatnot.
And this is the Meat Beast. Say good evening. Find me on Cyanet Radio. Thank you very much for listening to 3 in the Box. Hopefully we'll have a episode of Fucking Drunk coming soon. Trying to get confirmations on that. And we'll talk to you next week.
Hello.